Party! What's going on, everybody? Welcome back. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Jared Cornelius. In studio tonight with us is our guest. We got Luke Dean.
Here in the flesh.
All the way from Okmulgee. And over here tonight, we've got the WRCBA March Madness champion. We got Trevor Truitt. He's in studio tonight. Fresh off of a victory. Rode the coattails of Florida. I mean, he's the only one that saw it coming. Nobody else thought Florida was going to win nothing, but this guy, he's got, like, I looked at his bracket, I said, there's no chance, but, and my team let me down. I still think we were the best team. I just can't believe that, we crumbled like that, like not scoring in 10 minutes or whatever it was. It's just, it's sickening. But hey, Trevor's a champion once again. He dominates the college leagues. I don't know what it is. He's got, what is this, your second, or is this your first one? You won last year, yep. So this he is your first one.
Yeah.
And then you've won a college championship, yep. Also.
It was the freshman, man. Duke's freshman. They just cracked. Then.
Yeah. I mean, that was one thing I kind of thought. I was like, man, we're young. But, I mean, Shit, dude. You get that far into it, you kind of can't. It's hard to say, well, you know.
For sure.
Cooper Flagg's a freshman. And then all the shit I was talking leading up to that.
Yeah. I mean, but they, I mean, they. They've dominated just about every single game until they got there. So. Well,
I mean, I got to give Florida props. I mean, the last three games, they had to come back from double-digit deficits and were able to win at the end. I mean, I got to give it up to them. I mean, they're a solid team. They're better in the second half in almost every game that they played in. I mean, it was one of those teams where, you know, looking back on it, like, it kind of makes sense with the way that tracked. But, like, watching them at any time, I was like, I don't know, man. These guys at any minute could lose to anybody. Like, I kind of believe that even leading up to the UConn game. I was like, they're not, like, unbeatable. But the thing is with them is they refuse to be beaten, especially when it matters. So, I mean, that's why they're the champions.
And I felt like they just got really hot at the end of the year. Like,
yeah, you know, they did go.
Auburn was dominating.
Yeah.
And Alabama and Auburn were kind of dominating that SEC, which had so many teams come out of it. And then, you know, all of a sudden, Florida winds up getting hot and beating, you know, Auburn in the championship game. And right then, I kind of thought, man, this is probably a team you got to watch out for. They got, you know, a bunch of good players. Like, they're gritty, like you said. They don't just, you know, die when it pressure's on.
I mean, damn, Walter Clayton Jr. didn't score any points in the first half. All 11 of his points came in the second. Yeah. And, you know, he came up big when he needed to. So, I mean.
And that fool just cut the net down without even getting on the ladder. Yeah, he just stood up.
Must be nice. But Trevor, how are you feeling? I mean,
it was nice. It's always nice when you, like, I thought Florida was going to win it all, and they won it all, and they helped me to my victory. So it's like, you know, it's one of those, it's like whenever I pick Michigan. So it feels good to be back. I was getting a little worried there, but I'm feeling good about the NBA too. I've been pretty hot on that the past couple weeks. That's going to be interesting to get into as
well.
Listen,
I'm just waiting for the playoffs, all right? I just need to get in there. After that, I mean, who knows? It's all bets off, right? I'm just resting my starters right now.
Yeah.
So, Jason.
Yeah, unless Jason has the best week ever. And you
well,
don't.
You know what's funny is, like, he did the same thing last week that I did the week before. He missed a whole day. And
yeah. He
got up 100 points on the deficit, so he wasn't very far. And then he just did the same exact thing, and now he's back down another 100. So he's going to have to literally score, like, 400, and I'm going to have to score, like, 150 in order for him to swing it. So
yeah, and he was like, is there any way I could just pick on Monday? And I was like, yeah, nobody's going to vote for
he was
just
with me
you
when he
to
sent
pick.
That.
Yeah, I was
he
like.
He was with me when he sent that text, and I was like, there's no fucking way, dude. Because there was no vote for me last week whenever fucking I missed a whole day.
I was like,
I thought I was fucked whenever I did that. I was like, man, I'm letting this asshole right back into it.
Well, the thing is, he did it on, like, if he had done on either, you know, the other day on Thursday at the time, it would have been way better. Because, like, those games are worth 10. Yeah. So, like, you did it on it. You do it on a fucking weekend, you're fucked.
Yeah, I'm just hoping to get in there. I don't know. It's the NBA is tough, man, especially with the Western Conference this year.
Man, it's just so...
Nuggets just got rid of Moses Malone or whatever his name is, Michael Malone. And, you know, Trevor, I see where you were coming from in the group chat earlier. But, I mean, if what I've heard is true and that the GM and him weren't even talking, I mean, it's just like...
Well, I don't know.
I just don't know why you don't fire the GM and keep the coach.
That's what I was thinking. Because I didn't realize this today. He's got the most wins for a Nuggets coach ever.
He's got the most wins in the NBA the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, get rid of the GM, sure, but.
Yeah, he's proven.
That's like, not even the GM that drafted the core of the team. It's that guy's in Minnesota now, and now the team can't even beat Minnesota.
You got to think, like, what's been the biggest bonehead move in the NBA this year?
Oh, it's not even close.
It's not even close. It is not even fucking close at all. It's
putting Luka at the Lakers.
Yes. Dude, that's the worst move in the past.
It's arguably the worst trade in NBA history. It's arguably the worst trade I've ever seen in my life in any sports. Like, you just traded a guy my age, well, actually younger. He's 25. He's a 5-time All-NBA at 25. Nobody's ever done that. He's one of the best offensive players. Like, dude, he just played in the finals last year, and you trade him for a 31-year-old injury-prone Anthony Davis, who's no scrub.
No.
And then he comes in first game and gets hurt for 6 to 8 weeks, and now the Lakers are looking to get the third seed, and they're probably going to get it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's horrible. It's horrible.
It's fucking despicable. It's just, it makes me fucking sick. It makes me don't even want to watch basketball. Like, I just
imagine Mavericks fans everywhere just like,
believe it. They were just, I like, literally woke up in the middle of the night and saw it at like 11 p.m. on my phone, and I was like,
thinking you're dreaming or something. Like, this can't be
Are
real.
Are you fucking kidding me right now? Fake and like, news. I'm just like, what the fuck? And Bailey's like, what? And I'm like, you don't even know. Like, it doesn't even matter what I were telling you. I'm like, fucking Luka just got traded. And she's like, who's that? He's a fucking star player of the fucking Mavericks.
No, that would literally be like,
it was
like if Denver, if you woke up and they said Denver traded Jokic for, I don't even fucking know. Honestly,
the thing that just fucking drives me crazy the most about it is not even that we traded him. It's that, like, we were like, we're going to trade him. And then somebody, like, we asked somebody, and they're like, you want this? Yeah, that's a good idea. Not, let's, hey, we're everyone, entire NBA, we're putting fucking Luka on the trading block.
Wasn't it just player for player also?
It was, like, some first-round pick for 2029. Yeah. And I'm like, they could be the number one team in the NBA, and that could be the 30th pick there. Like, so the fact that we just traded for the first offer we got is what pissed me off. Because, like,
and
we
could have gotten. What's your future looking like?
We could have gotten 20 fucking draft picks from somebody.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
And you're not going to get Cooper Flagg this year. So you're not going to get like.
No, because we're going to make the play-in game. We're going to lose.
And you're going to get like a mid pick.
It literally just pisses me off. Yeah. Like it just fucking. It's.
Dude, it's an implosion.
It would be like. It wouldn't be this bad, but just think of like the Patriots trading Tom Brady after the 2007 season. You know what I mean? But obviously he'd won championships, but still, three. You'd be like, what the fuck? Okay.
I'd say it's more like if the Bengals traded Joe Burrow the year after they lost to the Rams in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Mid-season for fucking Aaron Rodgers. That's what that would be.
Yeah, literally, yeah.
Or Kirk Cousins. That's what it would be. Which I'm not, I would say Aaron Rodgers more because I'd say Anthony Davis is a really, he's a great player. He's
can't stay healthy.
Him and Luka together would have been great.
Yeah.
Or, you know, but.
And then it just shit on our season. Kyrie gets injured. And it's
he tears his ACL. He's going to be out until spring next year.
And I'm just like.
It's going to be Anthony Davis on the Pelicans all over again next season for most of the year. Unless you can convince some guy like Kevin Durant to come there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
Him, Anthony Davis, and Kyrie, though, that just sounds like the Nets in Dallas, though. Everyone's going to be hurt. Everyone's going to hate each other. Kyrie's going to start reading that anti-Semitic bullshit again or whatever.
KD's I'm just definitely saying. Not going to be in Phoenix next year.
No, I could see him going to Denver.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty big time. I think Denver would be a good move for him. I think Dallas wouldn't be bad if, but you're not getting Kyrie, and him and Kyrie have already tried that. I don't know. I don't really see him.
Yeah, that's.
But
a good point.
I personally, I don't know why. I'd like to see him go finish it off with the Thunder. I think if the Thunder can't get it done, I think adding him, a veteran, fucking just bucket getter, like Durant's still gonna go out there and give you 30. You know, yeah, so sure. With the right squad, he's, you know, it's going to, you know, he could easily just do replicate what happened with the Warriors.
I think the Thunder have a good chance of getting it done this year, but
they're young.
And the Lakers.
And they only have one star. They only have one, like,
dude,
all NBA caliber player. Like, Chet Holmgren hasn't really developed into yet.
Wiggins has developed into a very nice player.
Yeah, well, no, yeah. I think top to bottom, they're one of the best. I think. But the thing is, they remind me of the Celtics in 2018, 2019, where it was just like, yes, we're a very good top-to-bottom team.
But they're lacking.
But you almost have to, like, lose round-to-round as a team and build that, like, you have to learn. Like, it's very rare that a team is assembled and they go win a championship first year.
Right.
Unless they're, like, veteran, like, led like the Celtics in 2008.
Right, right.
We had a lot of veterans on that team that had been in the playoffs and lost and been in close games. With the Thunder, they've only won one playoff series, this team together.
No, you're right. You had, or like Cleveland with LeBron and Kyrie. And,
yeah. Like, you kind of have to, like, lose to learn how to win. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I think losing the Warriors is for the Celtics in the finals was. That was the last, like, we need to learn how to do this.
Speaking of that, I really thought the Timberwolves were going to be better this year. I thought Minnesota.
They're still dangerous, but I
they
mean.
Are. But
what, they got rid of Karl-Anthony Towns, and what did they add to replace him?
No, that's true. Yeah.
They still have that fucking French phony at center
right.
who's worthless. He's literally worthless.
Touching everybody.
He's just worthless. Those defensive player of the year that he won, it makes the award almost fraudulent. Because to think that Ben Wallace and him have the same amount makes me sick.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Because Gobert, I've watched them both play, isn't half the defender
Dude,
that fucking
Ben Wallace,
Wallace was.
Monster.
Ben Wallace was a 36% free throw shooter. He wasn't out there to score points.
He was
out
a monster
there
in the paint defending.
And he wasn't even that, like, he was a big dude, but he wasn't. He was only like 6'9".
Yeah, he was.
And he fucking was one of the guys, like him, there's only a few dudes I saw like actually defend Shaq well, and he's one of them.
Yep.
There's a reason the Pistons 4-1 the fucking Lakers in the finals. I mean, he was a big part of that. That was just a great team, but Rudy Gobert having, what, four DPOIs, he can go fuck himself. And that award can, too. That award can go fuck itself. I can't. Like, they just, like, it's like they can't. Like, no one pays attention to defense. So they're just like, well, just give it to fucking that guy.
Dude, I thought like, back
I'd give it to Wemby right now, even though he's missed a quarter of the season.
I thought in the 90s they kind of paid attention to it more. Yeah, Gary Payton, guys like Gary Payton winning.
Oh, well,
the club.
Yeah,
they just kind of like respected it more then.
That's why I think Jordan winning it, what, once or twice is fucking impressive as shit.
Right.
Especially in the era he played in.
Right.
Because you have Olajuwon, you have Mutombo, you have a lot of those guys that are, you know.
Ewing. Larry Johnson. Charles Oakley.
Fucking.
Like just,
Buck
what?
Williams.
The Bad Boys.
What?
Pistons.
What? Yep. Dennis Rodman.
Yeah.
You got Buck Williams in Portland. That fucking guy pick up a tractor with his bare
Charles
hands.
Charles Broccoli.
Just some, yeah, exactly. Just some great defensive players in the 90s. You know.
Ron Harper.
Yeah. Yep.
Pretty much a lot of the dudes on the Bulls, they were all pretty great. But, you know, we don't talk hockey much on here, but the other day, Alex Ovechkin passed Wayne Gretzky for most goals scored of all time, a record I thought I'd never see broken. Thoughts, Luke? I know. What do you think?
I mean,
where do you place Ovi in the upper echelon? Do you place him up there the greats, like with the Gordie Howes and the Mario Lemieux and the...
Well, yeah, I think, you know, just the fact that that was a record that seemed unattainable. He even said, me and Trevor were talking about this before we got on here, and there was an interview with him saying, like, somebody asked him if he thought the record would ever be touched, and he's like, it's impossible or something like that. Like, it'll never be done. And, you know, for him to do it in the same amount of games that Gretzky, and, you know, a lot of people would talk about LeBron and how many points he scored, but he's done it over, you know, the course of time where he's had a lot more games to do it in.
I think it's a dumb comparison, because what's easier, scoring a basketball or scoring a hockey goal?
Sure. Yeah.
What's harder?
Yeah.
The fact that, and also, they've played virtually the same amount of time, what's the harder sport to play for 20 years?
Well, I would say hockey probably by far.
Yeah.
To be able to play for 20 years, he's hardly missed any time with injuries. He's one of the – he's arguably the best forward ever, scoring forward ever.
Yeah, so I think, you got to put him up there in the
– I heard them arguing about that the only, other day on there.
Not only hockey all-time greats, but, like, you know, you lead the league in scoring in any sport. You got to be talking about, like, where are you ranking great of all-time athletes? Yeah. Like, maybe – I mean,
it's very rare that somebody would lead a category and you not to be like, oh, no, like they weren't, you know, I mean,
right.
Especially in that.
I think the only thing like that anybody has, like, I think he's now, if you're talking about scoring, he's arguably the greatest scorer of all time. Mm-hmm. But as far as the greatest player, I mean, it's like I was looking at it because I wanted to see how close it was. And I went and looked on the NHL's record book and dude, it's literally... Like, if anybody thought Jerry Rice's receiving, which I still think is one of the, I think it's the best NFL record of all time. I don't think there's anything better than, 23,000 receiving yards. Right. I mean, he has more receiving yards than...
Gretzky's point total.
Dude, his point total is fucking ridiculous. He had, first of all, more assists than he did goals. Yeah. And he has more assists. Like, if you look at the most goals scored ever, he's got more assists than, like, everyone in the top 10 scored points.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you add that to the amount of, he just had his record for most points as an individual scored. Add that with the 1,900 assists that he has.
Right.
I don't even know if, like, as far as assist leaders, I don't even know if there's anyone even close to him in assists.
I don't think so. Like, I can't think of anybody being.
Four championships.
I mean, you've had some great players over the years that, you know.
Gordie Howe, Mario Lemieux. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Fucking Sidney Crosby is one of the best I've ever seen, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Him and Ovechkin, I think, are the two best I've watched play. But, like, I mean, dude, you could argue Wayne Gretzky's the GOAT of all GOATs.
I was thinking about that.
Dominates their sport? And he plays in what is considered a power four sport. Like the big four, NHL, MLB, NFL, and NBA.
Right.
He is, he's so far and above, like, and beyond everyone as far as, like, distance between him and, like, as far as that record goes, I don't even know if it's debatable. Like, who are you going to say?
Right. I mean, your closest two would probably be maybe, like, Jordan and Brady, maybe.
I would say Brady would be there because I don't know if it's – I don't really think it's super close. I mean, we'll have to see where Mahomes ends his career at. He's on a good pace right now. If he ends up winning 4 or 5 Super Bowls, I can't say that it's like, you know, it's not even a debate. I mean, it won't be for me. But, like, I'm just being objective about it. Like it's not – because the thing with Gretzky is, like, yeah, he has 4 Stanley Cups. There's guys that won more, I'm pretty sure. But it's more of like who the fuck did more in 20 years. No, he played like that for 20 years.
I mean, probably the closest guy or the closest athletes that you could think of would be like Michael Phelps or Usain Bolt or somebody.
You'd have to go to like individual sports.
Alexander Karelin and the Russian from the Olympics that won like 800.
What's his fucking name from the bowling?
Oh, yeah.
Pete
Webber.
All I could think of when you said that was that movie Kingpin.
Yeah, I love that fucking movie.
It's a great movie.
Dude, like...
Who do you think you are? I am.
I mean, if I was going to rank it, I don't know. I will say... Now, I'll ask. Do you think it's harder... Do you think it's harder to win a Stanley Cup or a Super Bowl? Because, in my opinion, I think the Super Bowl is the toughest championship to win. Because every other league's, you're in series. What would the NFL look like if you didn't play just one and done?
Okay.
You played three shots at it. You might not win the first one, but you might get, you know what I mean?
I was thinking of it a different way, like how tough it is for them, like, to go through the course of a season.
The thing is, I, in my opinion, the only sport that I would entertain any, like, I think American football is the most physically grueling and demanding sport in the world, and it's not because of how barbaric it is, which it is. There is no other sport in the world where the guys that size, that fast, that strong, running that speed
constantly at each other week after week,
running 100 to 200 plays in a game. Like, there's not, like, rugby can go suck my dick. It has nothing. If you put Ray Lewis on a rugby field, go look at the fastest guy in rugby. I guarantee you there's 50 of those guys in the NFL, whether they start or not. Like, the speed is incomparable. They're, yeah. Like, what other sport in the world has guys that fast? And they wear, you know why they wear pads? Because if they didn't, you'd be picking arms and legs off the fucking field everywhere. And heads. So, it's hockey without, but the thing is with hockey is there's fighting. It's nonstop. They play three fucking periods that are 20 minutes each. Three periods. And you're skating. And these guys are all NFL player size. They're all 6'3 to 6'6.
Yeah.
Some are bigger. And they're fucking 250 plus pounds skating 20 to 30 miles an hour for fucking an hour, which not everybody plays the whole game, you know, but.
You definitely the endurance.
Defensive got players in the NHL play the most, and you're constantly skating backwards. People are trying to slam your face into the glass. If you trip them and you get too fucking rowdy, that guy can fucking try and beat your ass, and the refs are going to let it happen.
Right.
It's the only sport that I think. Oh, also, there's a puck that if it hits you in the face, which is possible,
it's going to
fuck you up.
You're going to get teeth knocked out eventually.
It happens to everybody. Like, that's why guys just let their teeth go, and then they're like, I'll just get it fixed when I retire. It's like, fuck that shit. But, like, Marshawn's good. I forgot he was with the Panthers now. But it's the only sport that I'll entertain it on because that's just like, I can't, it's pretty tough. It's not like they're running around. They're skating. It's crazy. Like, yeah, imagine definitely. Having to keep your balance while also fending off these goons from bashing your brains in.
Yeah, and you can just at any time slam somebody against the wall.
And no one says nothing. Yeah. Like, that's what the thing that blew my mind the most whenever I would go to hockey games is, like, I just see a guy with his face turned towards the glass and the other team would just come and slam and check him right into the glass and then they just skate off. No one say nothing. I'm just like, what is the point of that? I love it. I love how, like, it's not barbaric, but I love how,
dude, it's very
primordial the rules of the NHL are. They really haven't changed a ton. Like, they made some big changes in the 80s, which kind of improved scoring.
But super aggressive.
Oh, it's like, just, you can't take the, well, if you, like, how do you take aggression out of it?
Right, exactly.
It's the, like,
you wouldn't want to.
Exactly. Like, in the NFL, like, here's the thing, dude. You can do whatever, you make all the rules you want. If you get hit at full speed by a guy that's 6'2", 240, running full speed at you and you're not paying attention, it's going to fucking hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
It might knock you out. You know what I mean? DeMar Hamlin took a guy running the ball, a helmet to the chest, and it stopped his heart. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
You don't hear shit like that happening. Oh, I broke my ankle in some rugby game. Who gives a fuck? Yeah, you're not wearing anything.
Just fighting after the fucking game's over.
You know what I love is you can fight through the ref and they don't kick you out for it.
Yeah.
They might make you sit down. You go sit down, Holmberg. You get off me, eh? Damn, you start fighting at the end of the game, too. Get off ice.
What do you think the greatest hockey rivalry is?
Bruins and Canadians.
Yeah. I was going to say in the 90s, I felt like the Avalanche and Red Wings had a good rivalry going on.
I mean,
on.
The Canadians and the Toronto Maple Leafs, which I saw your little, you know, anti-Canada thing the other day.
Yep.
Hey, listen, man, I don't like it either, but look, the Canadians are arguably the greatest sports organization ever.
Yeah.
I think they have 30 Stanley Cups all time.
You can't. I can't
they have three more championships than the fucking Yankees do. The Yankees have 27. I think the Canadians have like 30 all time. But it also goes back to when they were playing on ponds in the late 1800s. So I don't, you know.
Yeah.
Some people say those don't really hold much weight. But, dude, if you look at the Canadians from when it expanded from the four original teams to when it, like, the league got bigger and bigger and bigger. Dude, like, they won, like, what, 8 straight at one point. They dominated the 70s. They came back in the 80s. And then they had, like, their last run in the 90s. Like, for, like, 3 decades, they fucking owned hockey. Granted, The way the draft worked back then is weird, because, and they also had, like, first pick of the best players in the entire world right there in Canada.
Right.
So the talent pool was, like, I mean, if you look at all those all the greats from back then, they're all fucking Canadian. They're either French-Canadian or the other kind, but the English kind. But
Quebec.
They fucking dominate. But they also haven't won one in, like, since the Cowboys won, I think. I think it's been that long. I'm going to look that up. Trevor, say something.
It makes me want to start a NHL WRFL fucking league.
Dude, it'll literally be like four people.
Dude, I'm in.
I mean, it'd literally be us and then Jason. Jason,
no, my dad
in.
Would do it.
I haven't been in. He got a championship this year. I need something.
My dad loves hockey.
Yeah, I tell him. Always talked about hockey.
Me and him will talk about it because, like, me and him are like, no one else likes it, so we never fucking talk about it.
You know, I've been to,
okay, the Canadians have won 24 Stanley Cups, but still.
Yeah.
It's still insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, they haven't won one since 93.
Dang. Yeah, that's Cowboys. That was the last time. Isn't that the last year Cowboys won the Super Bowl?
95, 94.
That's right.
It's been 20. It'll be 30 years this year. Y'all better pull something out of your ass.
We ain't pulling nothing out.
Yeah, it didn't look any.
It's no, it's
better.
Looking like. Better. It's like Jerry no is like flying a plane. He's hammered. Dude, he has dementia.
The
and
whole city of Dallas.
He's not
be
paying
on
attention to anything.
For sports right now. The whole city of Dallas should just.
It really
oh,
should.
They're all on suicide
really
watch.
Should.
They should fly
yeah.
one of those planes with one of those flags on the back of it with like the suicide hotline on it. Just to make sure all those people in yeah, Dallas don't just do a Jonestown.
They need the Rangers to get something going.
No doubt.
Fuck, dude. It's insane, though, if you think about, like, Florida dominating fucking hockey. It's yeah. insane. Didn't they win the Stanley Cup last year?
Yeah, I think they did.
Yeah.
Wasn't it, like, them in Vegas or?
No, they played. I think they played a fucking Canadian team or something.
Maybe that's right. I've always been a big.
They play the Canucks, maybe?
That might have been it. I've always been a big Boston fan. I don't know. I've always liked the Bruins, like their uniform.
They're my favorite.
Traditional.
Yeah. I love their jerseys.
Yeah, me too.
I love the fucking Chara was one of my favorite hockey players. The goalie, he looked like a fucking bear out there. I loved him. He was yeah. awesome. He played with us for so long, and I think we actually traded him to – where did we trade him to? Because I remember when we got rid of him, I was like, oh, my God, they're all gone now. Everyone that was on that Stanley Cup team, they're all gone.
Yep. Dude, like in the 90s, like I said, I'd always watch Colorado and Detroit play. They just had some, those were just some violent matches.
Detroit
Dallas Stars were pretty
Pittsburgh
good.
Pittsburgh was a good rivalry.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
See, I'm not going to lie. I've always kind of liked the Red Wings also. Yeah. I like the old school and the Blackhawks. I think they've probably got the sickest jersey in all of hockey.
Yeah.
Red and the black with the fucking the native on the front of it or whatever
you're
supposed
legit.
To say now.
Fucking native.
You know what makes me sick? Now, you know, this is a little off topic, but it's on topic. New York sports make me fucking sick. They just make me sick. Like, I hear all this about the Yankees and all this stuff. The only team that's been worth a shit my whole life has been the fucking Giants, and they have been ass for the last 10 years. So,
didn't the Yankees win a.
In 09.
Yeah.
All right. I was 11. I'm 27 now.
Yeah.
It's crazy, dude. Like, since then, like, and that was the only one they won in the 2000s since they had the worst blown lead in sports history to the Red Sox, which
right.
would have pissed me off. Oh, hell yeah. We beat my dad's team 5 points.
Is he a Red Sox fan?
No.
Oh.
My dad roots for the Yankees over. I think my dad's a Yankees fan. It's weird. I don't like the Red Sox. I hate them.
Tom is a. In college basketball, he seems to be a Duke fan. Then,
yes. I grew up.
But he's a Niners fan in football, so mm-hmm. West Coast. And he's a Yankees fan in baseball, so East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And then.
Nebraska.
Yeah, Cornhusker.
Duke makes sense. He grew up in Virginia.
Right, that does make sense, exactly. But how do you get all these other like teams that are so spread out over everywhere?
He moved a lot as a kid, I think. Makes he was. Sense. I'm not saying that has anything to do with any of that, but I mean, you got him. So my dad was born in 70, so he's probably 10 by the time he started watching. I mean, right. Joe Montana and the Niners started their dynasty.
Bryce Montana, yeah.
You know, the Celtics. He's always been a Celtics fan. He also grew up in that area. His grandfather liked most of the Boston teams, and I think he liked the Yankees also. He might have rooted for, I can't remember, but I think he was a Yankees fan. But that's kind of who grew up. And now with college football, I think he was just a big Tom Osborne fan.
I mean, I can see why. Tom Osborne was, man, in the 90s. Like
the Nebraska's fucking culture back then, oh, just tough.
God. I mean, I just remember them going out and smoking Peyton Manning, you know.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, like you had what was the quarterback at Nebraska those 2 years?
Tommy Frazier.
Yeah, Tommy Frazier. He was just a...
I mean, that dynasty is arguably one of the best. It's one of the best dynasties in college football history. And ever since then, it's just been kind of like, it makes me sick because I think college football is better when Nebraska is like a.
And it sucks because I feel like OU has might be like Nebraska in the SEC if they can't turn this around.
You gotta be patient.
Yeah, you're right, Trevor. I'm hoping, man. I'm hoping. Like, but dang, man. Like, I don't know. Just it was a very
listen,
I'm not gonna lie, it reminds me of Nebraska going to the Big Ten. Sometimes. When OU going to the SEC reminds me of Nebraska going to the Big Ten.
That's what I'm worried about. That's what I'm worried about.
It's just hard to compete with all those it's just the schools you're competing with recruiting. You're not gonna out recruit Alabama in the state of Alabama. That's where all the best if you look per capita, professional NFL players. Per capita, I think the highest percentage of them literally are born and raised in the state of Alabama.
If old boy keeps running them the way they're going, they're not going to be going
what I'm saying is, like, if the best players, like, you got to understand, like, I think most of the best players in the in state to state, they're going to try to go to their, you know, like, oh, the best player in Oklahoma most of the time is probably going to want an offer from OU, even though OU mostly recruits out of Texas. I mean, most of the best recruits in Oklahoma end up going to OSU because OU don't offer them because the players are better in Texas and it's right there. But
I actually kind of think that the Big Ten's fixing to be the premier football league. And
very well could be.
Yeah.
I mean,
especially if Nebraska keeps trending up.
I think Michigan next year is going to be.
Well, the SEC is just a bloodbath now.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a bloodbath. Like, I think it was more balanced before. I mean, but you throw OU and Texas into the mix. We almost won fucking thing our first year. But you've also got to look out for teams like Florida and Tennessee and Auburn. Even Arkansas might beat you one week, even though they're not supposed to.
Missouri has some of those weird teams.
Yeah, Missouri's been a top 10 team the last 2 years. And, like, Texas I just, like, A&M. The SEC.
Vanderbilt.
The one thing I was like.
Fucking
the SEC to me is still the toughest conference because I think the best players still play there. And that was what my point I was getting to earlier was, is like, I still think the best players in the country, I don't think they come from Texas. I just think that number's inflated because they have 10,000 plus high schools there. I think the best players in the country, if you just look at who plays in the NFL and who has played in the NFL, they come from Florida, Georgia, and Alabama. That's where the best players, especially if you're talking defense, the best athletes come out of those areas. And then if you look at quarterbacks, a lot of them are rich fucking white kids from the West Coast or whatever, or Texas. Like, a lot of the best quarterbacks ever have come out of Texas also, but they went to those big fucking 7A schools where they're, you know, they had to pay $15,000 a semester for tuition.
I remember Texas or football was so big in Texas in high school even. That
it's like its own fucking world, dude.
I want to say it was what was the guy that played for Texas, the running back, Cedric Benson? Mm-hmm. Is that right? Yeah, he played for a team called Midland Lee.
Yep.
And they broadcast that on ESPN, the state championship game.
They show the 6A.
Yeah.
No, they show the six-man Texas State playoffs on ESPN every year, and I'll watch it. It's crazy. Football, high school football. One thing I will say, the high school football in Texas is probably, I don't know if there's a culture like it anywhere else in the country. Just because of how big it is. But, like, I'm just saying, per capita, the best players come out of those areas. Right. And I just think it's going to be hard to steal recruits from Alabama and Auburn and Florida and Florida State. Because in Florida, you got to remember, there's more than, like, it's got how many different schools, different conferences.
I'd say, like, as far as
it's hard to get a guy to leave and go for across the country. That's why a lot of recruiting is done regionally, because it's really hard to convince a dude in Mississippi to move from his family all the way to California.
And I think you're right about, like, in the South, you're going to find a lot of athletes, like, you know, just
the best defensive players come out of the South.
Right. But running backs. I do think that if you're talking about linemen, offensive linemen
in the North,
yeah,
Wisconsin,
you're looking at Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota, places like that.
D linemen, South.
Yeah, for sure.
But edge rushers and offensive linemen, yes, you can go to Wisconsin, Iowa, anywhere with a dairy farm, you can find them out there.
Although you got to throw, for defensive linemen and offensive linemen, I think you got to throw, you know, Utah and California and Oregon, that West Coast with the Pacific Island, you know, players.
Yeah, but they got blood sugar problems. That's the thing with those Samoans. They got bad blood sugar problems. Too much pineapple on their pork, you know what I'm saying? Dude, who's the fucking best defensive player, defensive lineman ever? I mean, that's a good argument, but who do you think it is? Throw some names at me. Reggie White, where do you think he's from?
Dude, he's probably from Georgia. He from Georgia?
Let's see.
Florida, Georgia, I don't know. But yeah, he's definitely in the
top. Oh, he's from Chattanooga, Tennessee. Southern as fuck.
Yeah, for sure.
Minister of Defense. There's no way he's from Utah.
Where was
he might have, if he's Mormon, maybe.
Where was I don't know why.
Like in Warren Sapp, we'll see where that big son of a bitch is.
He went to
from.
Florida State. I remember that.
Didn't he go to Florida? He went to Miami.
Did he?
I think he went to Miami.
I might be right. I thought he went to Florida State for some reason.
Yeah, he's from Florida. He's from Orlando, Florida. And he went to Miami. Yeah, that's what he's part of that really good team with Michael Irvin.
Yeah,
he was one of the
D
linemen on there.
That's right.
He has the worst hairstyle I've ever seen in my life. I don't know why he didn't just stay bald. That's why he can't get a job anywhere. They're like, what the fuck's wrong with you? Have you gone crazy? Jason Whitlock should start a podcast together.
Where's Miles Garrett from?
I don't know, but I would love to keep looking this
A&M.
Up. He went to Texas A&M, so let's see.
Yeah, he did go to Texas.
And he is from Arlington, Texas, so he literally just went right there. So, you know, like I said, I think, if you look at just even running backs, fucking Earl Campbell, where the fuck do you think he's from?
Right.
That's not a northern name. Now you start looking at those Polish names, German names, Irish names.
What?
Like, dude, it's a shame. Wisconsin hasn't been better my whole life. They've had, like, the best offensive line every fucking year, them or Iowa, and they never go anywhere because they never have a good quarterback.
They have sometimes they get good running backs, though.
Yeah. Oh, Wisconsin, Jonathan Taylor, that one guy. All of them. Melvin Gordon. I couldn't remember his name. Back to back. And they both were like, led the league in rushing. It's like, who's throwing him the ball? Oh, Long Legs McGee. Fucking white guy.
Right.
And I'm pretty positive they just had like the number 15 and they just put it on the fucking quarterback, no matter who it was. There's no name on the back of it. Just some white guy at fucking quarterback. No skill whatsoever. It's just like, how did you get a D1 scholarship? How do you get a D1 scholarship and you go to a school like Iowa and you just hand the ball off all the time?
I have really good handles.
I just want to get in touch with the administration at Iowa and be like, will you fire that fucking loser that's running this team like it's the Navy in the 70s?
You get a wide receiver.
We need a guy that
can
throw some fucking footballs around here.
Dude, I was more invested in wrestling anyway. Hey, speaking of...
You're not going to make any money. You got to get into football.
Did anybody see Wyatt Hendrickson upset Gable in the national NCAA finals?
I was so confused by that because I didn't realize that he had eligibility so he could go back. So I was like, what the fuck?
He probably shouldn't have, looking back.
Yeah, no doubt. Man,
that's
got to
be embarrassing because like I'm sure a lot of people are like, oh, this guy's going to whoop his ass.
Dude, it was the biggest upset in college wrestling history except for maybe – when Dan Gable got beat. Nobody thought Wyatt was going to win. You know, he comes in. And I went to that Big 12 wrestling championship at the BOK, and Wyatt won that. But, I mean, he had some problems there at the end of the last match with the kid from Arizona State. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. But, like, there's no way anybody thought anybody was going to win that heavyweight title. besides Gable. And
who was Gable wrestling for?
Minnesota.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
How old is he?
He's not that old.
I thought he was like 28 or 29.
Yeah.
No, I don't think he's that old.
I thought he was.
He won two titles, NCAA titles, I think, with Minnesota.
It was something about a COVID year.
Yeah, you get
why he got the
all those guys. That's why there was actually the first five-time NCAA champion in college wrestling this year in Penn State with Carter Scrocci.
He's only 24.
Yeah, I was gonna say, but think about the mileage on him. Like, he's played for the Bills. He won a gold medal. He's won two NAACP.
WWE at one point. And
yeah, yeah. I mean. Yeah. The guy's done a lot. You know, now he's talking about...
Well, it's over
crazy.
For him now.
It's crazy.
It's
though,
over. You,
that they're
you come
saying
back,
that
you
it's
fight some kid in college.
That big
and you
of
lose.
An upset whenever the guy, like, he was a two seed. So, like, that's saying how favored he was. Like, right. They're like, the two seed is not, there's no chance of the two seed beating the one seed, which is crazy.
Well, and the crazy thing, is there was another guy from Penn State there named Greg Kirkfleet. And the guy's just a monster. Like, freak of nature. He's huge. Like, 6'5, 6'4. You know, just jacked and ripped, and won the national title last year. I think he beat Wyatt, because Wyatt was a transfer in from Air Force. He's a lieutenant, and you know, nobody thought Wyatt was gonna win that match. Nobody even thought Wyatt was gonna be in the finals. They thought he was probably gonna lose to Kirkfleet from Penn State. So for him to pull that off, it was just huge.
Just the most non-exciting names in all of college sports. Just all these fucking white guys and black dudes with white guy names. That's all it is. Here's fucking Lester Van Fleet wrestling Kirk. What was that guy's name?
Greg Kirkfleet.
Greg Kirkwood.
That's a black, he's a black guy.
Greg Kirkfleet. Mick Fleetwood. He sounds like a fucking wrestler from
Penn
State.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them, like you said. Like, there's Rocco Walsh, you know, just gargoyle names. You know?
Yeah, dude. Like, here's the thing. Going back to what you said, you know, they're invested in wrestling. What the fuck has that gotten them? They need the funding.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, North Carolina is rolling in it right now. Dude, they haven't even played a game yet.
Dude, I'm loving it, though, because OSU is back on track to be, you know, great again. Right? You know, the greatest wrestling program. I mean, you're talking about great programs in college history, like, or just great, you know, athletes. I mean, the OSU wrestling team has to be up there. Like,
they have the most titles ever, I
think. They have 34, yeah.
Yeah, they have the most
titles.
That, and I think they have the most golf titles ever as a college, too, don't you?
I believe that's right. I believe that's too. True.
And swimming.
You know, they're
really good at swimming.
And they had two guys that won the national title this year. Dean Hamity won it also. And that was a great match, too, because he wrestled Keegan O'Toole and lost to him. I believe last year. He definitely lost to him this year in the Big 12 finals. And then to come from behind and beat him in the last, like, 30 seconds of the match, like, it was just huge turning point in the right direction for, you know, Oklahoma State wrestling. You know, it's David Taylor's first year as their coach. He's a, you know, two-time gold medalist, and just I feel like they're on track to be. I mean, Penn State's still top. Penn State's won, I think. Man, I think it's like 11 of the last 13 or something national titles. So
as a team?
Yeah, as a team. And they had 10 All-Americans this year. 10. Their whole team finishes all.
That's kind of like in Oklahoma. Like, yeah. You know how Jinx was like for the last 20 years was like up until they won their last title. Like for 20 years before that, they were like the cream of the crop.
Yep.
They won like, I think, 15 out of 20.
It was
like
insane.
It's insane. And that's how Tuttle was with wrestling. Like,
dude, Perry was like
they,
that.
I think Tuttle won the 4A team state championship like every year I was in high school.
Just ridiculously.
Dude, it's just like as a team, it's like you're not beating them. Like
they're corn fed.
Dude, you go over there. They all got red hair. Malachi, Ezekiel.
Yeah, no doubt.
Ishmael.
Every one of them's got cauliflower ears.
Yeah, dude. Trevor on the super soldier serum. So they all fucking look like they all
like
build fences. They don't exercise. They just build fences and fucking
throw hay bales.
Yeah, throw hay bales. That's what they do.
There's a guy on it.
They've always got
like
a singlet
Dustin
on under their overalls.
I think he came from Tuttle, actually. Dustin Plott. So that makes sense. He's all.
I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of guys from there went to wrestle at OSU. I mean, every time I saw them, I was like, God, these motherfuckers are big.
Yeah. Yeah.
That and Casha Hall had some pretty big guys. But dude, you know what? They're fucking recruiting.
Had Ernie Jones as their head coach. You know, Ernie Jones is basically the face of wrestling and the, you know, Tulsa area, pretty much the Oklahoma high school. His dad or his son coached at Broken Arrow, who had a great wrestling program in the early 2000s and 90s. Ernie Jones, Biff Jones, I think it's Sean Jones, and there's another one. I can't remember the
all good wrestling names.
I mean, they were all. I think every one of them might have won a state championship. Every one of his kids. I think all of them went to Webster, where I went to high school at. So, you know, Webster had a great wrestling program through the 90s and 80s. In fact, they had a guy named David Prince who won a national title, I believe, in wrestling in high school. Rodney Kilgore. He was a guy that won two national titles at OU in the 50s. Like, Webster has had some great wrestling programs. Melvin Lofton.
Ford Gibson hadn't had someone win state, like, first place since 1979 or 1980, whenever it was either Steve or Larry Cooper. I think one of them won first place. Steve and Larry Cooper, who's Cole Hamilton's grandparents and shit and uncle, are like legends in Fort Gibson. One of them, I think, went on to play at OU, and I think he was a pro for a while or something. But
can
like
catch him at the 4 mile every day.
Yeah, but it's, you know, it's hilarious. You know what they do now? They just like put like pole, like light poles in and shit, like, and do stuff like that. And he's like 6'9".
Just a monster.
His son, like Cole, is like 6'7", 6'8", and his grandfather is taller than him. And it's so funny. Cole, I mean, he wasn't bad. He just was a little lazy, you know, whatever. He didn't try as hard. He was partying his balls off in high school. And, you know, he didn't care if scouts were watching him play or anything. Let's just say that. But his grandpa and his uncle, Steve and Larry, they're like Ford Gibson legends. Like, they both, I can't remember if they both played at OU or one. I know one of them did. And they both were all state. You know, offensive, defensive lineman of the year, all that shit. And so no one had won state in wrestling since them. And my friend Justin Cates won it his senior year. That's awesome. He wrestled Wyatt. I can't remember what his last name is. He went to Stillwell and he went on to wrestle at OSU. I think they wrestled at 185. So yeah. Really. I mean, Justin won it at the very last.
That's like, awesome,
dude. It was really cool, dude, to see.
Yeah,
and he got to go get put up on the board with everyone that's won it before, and it's cool that there's a big guy. I think Ryan Waltman either won it or also got state. I actually think he got second, which I think he only lost like two matches his whole senior year, which is crazy. He was also like the lightest weight you can wrestle at too, though. But he was a squirrely motherfucker. He was good.
Guaranteed.
Like, all them wrestling boys though, they just drank and partied too much. Like, how do you do all that running and exercising to put yourself through this hell? And then you're just gonna go fucking pound beers and smoke cigarettes? It's just like, God, dude. Small town athletes, they're just plagued with like, you're so bored, you gotta try cigarettes young. Like, you just get so bored, you're like, well, I guess we should try cigarettes.
Yes, it's about that time.
I mean, like,
I feel like Johnny Manziel was probably smoking since he was 3.
Probably. I remember some of the soccer guys, they would smoke cigarettes before the game, saying it would help their lungs. Like,
wait, what? Lungs.
Like, Colton fucking, that one guy, the soldier. Colton Petty or whatever his name was. That guy walked around like he was fucking going to recruit you at any minute.
Yeah.
He looked like he was on active duty in school. It was hilarious. Like, I was like, he's really training hard for this. But I was just like, what? Everyone takes this guy. And I got nothing against the guy, but I was like a freshman when he was a senior or something. Because he was older than you, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
What the hell was his deal? Why does he look like Jarhead? I know he wasn't in the military. I know he was going to go be in the military, but like, I did his parents' house. I know, didn't his dad pass or something in the military?
I don't know.
I'm saying a lot right now on the podcast. I don't know why I'm saying all this shit. I'm just saying, like, he ain't going to listen to this. He's out fucking fighting in Afghanistan right now. They left him behind. he volunteered. I'll stay.
I'll watch out.
I'll keep an eye on things back here.
I'll let you know if anything crazy is going on. Yeah.
No, I don't know. All I know is I don't even know why the fuck we started talking about that.
You're talking about Jinx being so good in the.
That is not what started me talking about that, but that was a long time ago. But yes,
you're talking about Jinx being so good in high school football during the 90s and early 2000s. And I'll say, like, probably the biggest football game I ever went to until I was, you know.
Oh, he was smoking cigarettes before soccer games. That's what I was talking about. Go ahead.
Jinx and Union played in the, I think it was the 2000 or the 2001 state championship. It was the year Kewan Jones was on their team.
They probably, I think that was the state championship most of the time.
Yeah.
It was literally them two for like 10 straight years.
And it was the last play of the game. He runs 80 yards for a touchdown. And I mean, TU didn't even have probably half their stadium filled for college football games at that point. During that time.
Oh, but I bet for that it was.
Yeah. And then the Jinx Union game, the whole stadium was there. It was no room standing. Even.
Yeah. We were just, that's how that game always is.
Yeah.
I've heard they've had over 20,000 people at that game at one time before.
Dude, it was insane. Insane.
I remember my junior year when we played. Would that have been my sophomore year when we played Hilldale in Fort Gibson? I think they said there was over 12,000 people at that game.
Whoa.
Like, there was people standing like on the away bleachers. There was like a whole crowd of people just standing on the sides of the bleachers.
Dude, that's wild.
And like all around, like everywhere. It, like, I don't.
They're
and
from
I think
Hilldale,
we ended up
Fort Gibson because I mean, are there 12,000 people in Hilldale?
I mean, there's between
Hilldale is essentially Muskogee.
Yeah, it's in Muskogee.
Okay.
So I mean, I'm sure there were kids from a lot of like kids from Muskogee showing up, and like old Fort Gibson people, old like that was always a big deal, Hilldale Fort Gibson week. But for some reason that, and I think it was because the senior class of both teams grew up playing each other their whole lives. And it was just like
it was a rivalry.
And we were senior deep on like on both sides. Like 12 seniors plus on each side.
See, I always thought like Fort Gibson's rival would have been Kawita or somebody like that.
Well, it should have been Wagner, but it was
Wagner,
it was my own personal rivalry. I was the only one that hated him as much as I did. I didn't give a fuck about Hilldale. That's just hilarious, though, because I didn't grow up in Fort Gibson my whole life. I only went there in high school. So when I got there, I'm like, yeah, we play for a rock against Hilldale. I was like, all right, I'll hate him. I don't care. I don't like him. I didn't like him. I'd say Hilldale's top three my least favorite schools, but I remember from the moment I played Wagner for the first time, I was like, I will hate this school more than any school for the rest of my life. And to this day, the guy works with me now. He's one of my dear friends. He went to school there. And I tell him all the time, I was like, I still fucking hate that place, dude. I hate the town. I hate the people in it. I'm like, they're the fucking, I think if I could put a label on Wagner, they are the definition of a white guy wearing a fucking Bass Pro hat tilted to the side with a dip can on the lid held with a fishing hook. That's what it would be. Wearing Jordans, listening to the worst rap music you've ever heard. That's what Wagner is, okay? And I remember when we played them for the first time, I hated them. I played Hilldale more than I ever played Wagner. I didn't give a fuck about them. I only lost to Hilldale one time my whole career anyway, so whatever. Wagner we only beat once, and to this day, I played them three times total in my career at Fort Gibson. And I only beat them one time, and it was my junior year, and it was on a two-point conversion in the last, like, minute and a half. Ballsy-ass call. We won, like, 36-35. Most of our crowd had left. They thought we were done because we were down 35-21 going in the fourth. So everyone was like, ah, this is over. And we ended up fucking scoring and winning, and to this day, never, there's been a win. I think I was a part of like, five playoff wins total in all of high school. None of them felt as good as fucking winning that Wagner game.
Yeah.
Seeing all those fucking hillbillies over there crying because they thought they were going to win and they blew it. There's nothing ever better. And you know what's great? They did go on to win state that year, but they didn't beat us. We went right. We lost one game, and that was in the semifinals that year, and it was to Uliga, which is, they should have fucking been there anyway, but they didn't beat us that year, so that makes it feel even better. I didn't give a fuck about Hilldale. I was like, that's nice. Give us the rock. Let's get out of here. This fucking little 3A school.
I kind of wonder, are there like You think, I mean, obviously in Texas, Florida, places like that, the South, but like, you think the states, other states have like high school football rivalries like Oklahoma has?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Permian and like, Midland is a huge Texas rivalry. I will say my junior year, we were the national high school rivalry of the week game.
Really?
Which, and it was televised.
With Hildo?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
But we ended up beating them 49-21, and it was 49-7 before our fucking second team got in. Dang. We whooped their ass. I think we had like two or three pick sixes that game.
Dang.
We whooped, and it was in Hildale. That was honestly, I'm not going to lie, that was a good win too. That felt really good.
Always.
Just go, because there was so much attention on that game, and there was a lot of people there. They were filming it for like the local Fox channel or whatever, and I'm pretty sure they cut off the broadcast like
by the old we're going to go to a different game.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. Because it was us, and then the other game of the week was, I think, because I think Wagner and Cat, because we played Wagner week two and we played Hildo week three, and I think Wagner played Casha Hall the week after us and they lost, and that was the other game. But that was a good game. I think they only won by a touchdown or something like that. But
I remember before Jinx and Union, like, it was like Ada, Clinton, Weatherford, those teams out west. Those, I mean, they were just, I think Gary McBroom was the coach for Ada in the 80s. And he won like,
Ada was a powerhouse.
Yeah,
back in the
just
day.
A monster team. And, you know, they haven't done really hardly anything since the 90s. But I think Clinton's still been pretty good.
They've been all right. They were good in the early 2000s. Yeah. I think they won a couple state championships.
But they have some massive rivalries out there with Weatherford, Clinton, and
Anadarko, and Newcastle.
Ardmore, kind of down by the south. They've had some great teams.
See, I didn't play a lot of the teams. I played Anadarko in the second round of the playoffs my freshman year. And I was one of the only freshmen that actually played varsity. I didn't start, but I played. I subbed in on defense, but I didn't start on offense. But I remember one for like a few plays, if one of our guards went down and I got out there, and it was terrifying.
Yeah.
Anadarko was always like my all throughout high school. They only lost like three games my entire high school career. I think they won state against Poto my sophomore year. I think they won like 40-0 also.
Jesus.
And that Poto team whooped our ass at our home. See, what's crazy is our sophomore year, we were really talented, but we played like one of the toughest schedules. It was insane. We had to play Poto on homecoming. They were undefeated. They had this wannabe Johnny Manziel at quarterback. That wasn't bad, but
they were breaking records. Is that when they were breaking records?
Yeah. And they went to state that year. And
broken another record.
Yeah, because I remember Catoosa beat Wagner in the playoffs, and I remember I heard that, and I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. You gotta be fucking kidding me. Because everyone thought Wagner was going to win it all, because they had that running back, Lawrence Evett. Like, he was literally like, it's like a video game. He handed it to him, and he's just like Bo Jackson at Tecmo Bowl.
We had to play Courtney Tennille at Glenpool, like, and they scored 60 on us before the half was over.
Oh, Jesus, my God. Dude. I've never been a part of anything like
it
that.
It was brutal.
I would quit football if something like that happened to me.
There was another guy.
Like, if I were to play one of those schools where they lose every game like that, like Gore, what, like that's how it was in school. I was like, how does anybody show up every day?
Dude.
Like, I'd quit. I'm like, fuck this shit, dude.
I mean, they basically did. Like,
we're just losing every time.
I can't even allow myself to lose a game to a computer on this.
Dude, it was crazy because every time this guy touched the ball, he scored. Every time he touched the ball. I don't think there was one time they handed it. They took him out after the first quarter. Like, they were just that much better than we were. Like, it was crazy. You know, we played Manford. You know, we kept it competitive. Cushing kept it competitive. There were two teams that just absolutely murked this, and that was Glenpool. I think they won state that year. And then they either won state or they were in the finals. And then Tishomingo. I don't know why, but Tishomingo was just really good. They're down by McAllister, kind of.
Yeah.
McAllister's always had some – they've had some good teams in the past.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
No, I just – like, in high school, I will say, I think in my sophomore year, Casha Hall – had always had like a huge offensive and defensive line, but my sophomore year, it was the biggest offensive line I ever saw in my life. It was Catoosa. They had both of their offensive tackles were like 6'5", 300 plus. Their guards were huge. Their center, who was also their nose guard, weighed 350 pounds, and he was 6'3 or 6'4. He was huge. He made Chris, he like towered over Chris Thames. Same size, his thigh, his calves were as big as your thighs. Like, they're fucking insane, dude. And we were pretty big ourselves, and we had Raglan and Bennett and fucking, you know, all those guys. But, like, they just, like, we were dwarfed to them. Like, it was, just, I was just like, oh my God, like, how is this going to happen? But, you know, those big guys, they tire down real quick. So you just got to get your hands on them and kind of get them out of the way a little bit. But, dude, I'll tell you what. Blocking down on that son of a bitch, it's like running shoulder first into a goddamn wall.
Trevor, who do you think is going to win the NBA Finals this year? NBA Championship. Who's your pick right now?
Man, it's hard. I just don't think the Thunder. They're young, man. I don't know. They're just young.
I feel like there's four teams you really gotta favor, I would think. That's the Lakers,
mm-hmm.
the Thunder,
yep.
the Celtics,
mm-hmm.
and I think you gotta throw the Cavs
I
in there.
I think so, too.
Even though I think they're young. Like, they've had a great season. They play well together.
But they've also got some good veteran guys on that team, too.
Sure.
That have been...
And
I'm just saying that... If the fucking Lakers win the championship this year, if that happens, I'm not a guy to say this. I don't normally say this, but I might.
They don't have a chance.
I might stop watching basketball, NBA. I don't know if I can take it.
They don't play defense.
I'm
well
just
enough
saying,
to win a fucking,
if
dude,
somehow,
even if they eke their way into the finals, they play Boston, which is who's gonna win the East and is probably gonna win the finals again.
I'd say Boston's probably the favorite.
They have no chance against us. They just have no chance at all. First of all, they can't match us in 3 points, and we'll just shoot we'll shoot 93s against them. If we make 40, they're fucked. If we make 35, they're fucked. They can't defend. Also, we can play small ball, we can play big ball, we can play half court, we can play full court.
What's Cleveland's record with Boston this year? Is Boston?
I don't know. I think we split whenever we played. The thing with Cleveland, though, is, and the thing I was kind of thinking was going to happen, I don't know. The last 20 games, they haven't been as great as they were the first 60, really.
That's true. That's true.
They've kind of, like, they didn't lose 10 in a row, but they lost a few in a row for the first time all year, and then now they've been losing more often than they were. I think they're kind of in the similar situation as the Thunder. They kind of both remind me of those Pacers teams. Yeah, they're good, and they might be the one seed, but the Heat were still, like, the
right.
best
yeah.
team. I usually think the best team it doesn't get the one seed in the East, especially because, you know, it's not as important. I think seeding is so much more important in the West because it's so much more competitive, I think.
Yeah.
The East, like, because if you look at the 1-8... Like, first of all, there shouldn't even be a play-in in the East. They should tell fucking... it should just go in the way it is. Cause seven
we're just
going
to give the West two more. Like,
dude, whoever has to, like... The Celtics are going to... Like, they should just give them the first round win. I don't know who they're going to play. The Raptors, the Bulls, the fucking whoever. It's going to be over. I think the Cavs will probably end up with the one seed. And who they play, the Pistons, maybe. I guess we'll see how the play
I will say
out,
I do like that the Pistons are a playoff team now.
Yeah.
It's kinda
I think
sure.
they actually have
for
a better
sure.
seed than that. They might the Pistons, I don't know.
Yeah,
they might be six.
It might be the Magic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I don't think any of those teams are serious threats. But if you go to the play-in in the West, I think even though the Mavericks, I don't think they're going to win the championship, they're still a dangerous team. I think the West is just a better conference.
I think the Warriors are going to be a dangerous team.
I think
yeah.
so, too, yeah.
Absolutely. If they were to play the Celtics, I would make me very nervous. One, we've lost to the Warriors, and two, we've lost to Jimmy Butler and the Heat more than once in the playoffs. So you put them together, it's just like, fuck me.
Yep.
But it would be cool if the Celtics played the Warriors again. That's kind of what I'm hoping it ends up being, is I want to get them back. Well, I think it'd be a real, first of all, going back to back. And beating the team
redemption,
that you play,
yeah.
that'd be big. And I think it'd be a good way to start. Like, I don't know, though. You know what drives me crazy is, like, and I'm a Celtics fan, but, you know, I don't really say much. But, like, why isn't Tatum looked at more like, I mean, for God's sakes, like, is he going to have to win two or three in a row for people to be like, he might be the guy in the NBA right now? I mean.
Dude, I think there's just something with, like, that team that there's.
I still think Jokic is the best in the world, but, you know, right. I'm just saying, like.
Dude, I think maybe just how, like, collectively good the Celtics are, like, well-rounded they are, takes away from, like, him standing out, kind of.
I agree. I think that could be it. But I also, you could argue that being the standout on a team full of quality standout players
right.
is impressive. Like, it's, if you're the best of the best of them, like, it's kind of impressive. To me,
totally
it's just like.
I agree.
And also, if you look at this guy, since he was a rookie, how many Eastern Conference Finals has he been to? He's never not made the playoffs, I don't think.
Where did Tatum, what school did Tatum come from? You think it might have something to do with that? Like, he just kind of looked at.
People don't respect Duke players. Well, I don't get it.
You know, like.
A bunch of fucking losers.
I think about, like.
Yeah,
you know,
it's because they.
Like Grant Hill.
Fucking turned into overweight assholes.
Did he get the recognition he deserved, really? Like, Duke players.
Grant Hill? Well,
he was
Grant
popular, Hill. But I don't think
he also got hurt.
Yeah, that's too
later
much.
In he had,
because
I mean,
no, I think a lot because a lot of people always say he's one of those what if guys. Like if he never got hurt, I mean, because he was arguably a Hall of Fame guy with the career he had.
Yes.
Take away the injuries. First of all, that Magic team with him and T-Mac and
man.
Doc Rivers as
the
coach, like that team could have done something had he not been hurt. And also Tracy McGrady was hurt most of the time he was in Orlando. That could have been a really special team.
Yeah,
so. I mean, you could argue Grant's arguably the best.
What if?
No, I think he's the best Duke player. I mean, if you count what he did in the NBA, I mean, he was a legit, even when he was like not
Kyrie
the same.
Too.
He was, yeah. No, that's true. He did, and he won
Kyrie
a championship.
Went,
no, he
Duke.
Went to Kentucky, didn't he? No, he went
then
to
he
Duke.
Did.
Yeah, he did.
That's right. No, that, you know what? That's a good point.
Yeah. I forgot Kyrie went.
I could still argue Grant Hill was a better overall player than Kyrie is.
Shame bad.
Oh yeah, especially I mean,
he won a few championships.
He had a good career.
He was a good, great role player.
Yeah,
good role model too. You know,
I always liked Shane Battier. I mean,
I hated him.
Really,
I hated the Miami. There, like people always talk about, like, oh, I hate this team. That. When it comes to the NBA, like, I'm a Celtics fan. I wasn't a fan of those Lakers teams. I respected Kobe.
Sure.
I hated him. Don't get me wrong. I've never hated a team more than LeBron-led Heat. I've never hated a team more.
Well, I mean.
From 11 to 15, I've never hated a team more in my life.
Yeah.
And I will also say I've never been more scared of a team.
I think everybody was pulling for the Mavs except for Miami when they played, you know, that series.
Oh, especially with all the shit LeBron talked before that season.
Yeah. You know, not one, not two. He had his own press conference and decision made overboard.
What's crazy is he did play in the finals every year he was there.
Yeah.
That's the other thing that's insane. He was in the finals every year.
Dude, I mean, I think Who do you guys say the GOAT is in basketball?
That's Jordan.
Jordan,
yeah,
for sure. You still, what do you think? Trevor, I saw you kind of.
I think at this point, LeBron has to win more championships to pass Jordan in my eyes. Because he's not undefeated in the finals. He hasn't won as many. And he's played for, what, 22 seasons? Jordan played 13 with the Bulls, won 6 championships.
I agree.
10, 11 scoring titles, defensive player. I just think. Everyone always forgets to look at it that way. Yes, LeBron's the longevity's insane. It's great. I think it falls more in line with Kareem's case. I think if you're looking at everything in a vacuum, Jordan's time in Chicago, even if you exclude the Washington stuff, it was like, what, 13 years, half the time in the finals, and he won every single time. 6 finals MVPs. It's never going to be done again.
And I just think the rivalries in those.
I still think Kareem arguably has a really good argument against LeBron. I'm not saying I just think Kareem having 6 MVPs,
I mean, he's the greatest,
6 championships.
Kareem's the greatest college player of all time.
He's arguably the greatest basketball player at any level ever.
Lou Alcindor, man.
We can look at his high school stats if we want, but I imagine his team did pretty
good.
He
probably didn't lose.
Yeah, he won, what, 3 national titles at UCLA? He won 1 with Milwaukee. He won 5 with the Lakers.
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, the guy, I mean, six championships, six MVPs. He was the all-time scoring leader until just a couple years ago. And I just, like, I don't understand why he never had much more of a thing. But here's the thing, though. If you watch Jordan play and the way he did it in the short amount of time, I mean, it is a fair argument to say, what if he doesn't retire in between the three-peats? He probably wins eight in a row. If Jordan wins eight in a row, is it even a fucking argument?
No, it can't be.
Can you even say anything?
It can't be, right?
No.
Especially at when that point, guy's got he would six be, losses in the finals.
At that point, he'd be the GOAT of any everything. If he went eight in a row.
If Jordan would have went 8-0 with eight finals MVPs, it's the greatest of all any sport ever. There's nothing.
I don't know that he would have went 8-0, though. I mean, man, look, obviously, they'd have
if they don't stop that train...
They had
in
the
middle of it. It was the middle of his prime.
But dang, you had the Rockets with Elijah Wan and Sam Cassell on that team and just some killers.
Yeah, but he would have only had to deal with them in the finals, though.
You were saying they had to go through the Magic to get there.
Rookie Shaq.
Ah, that's true. That's true.
Rookie Shaq.
And
I think if the Bulls, like, if he never retires, he just goes back, they get ready for business as usual. I think that there's a really good chance. Now, I'm not diminishing the Rockets, but the Rockets did win two in a row. And Jordan, who was, even as a retired player, was the best player in the world still.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
You take him out of the equation. As much as I love Hakeem Olajuwon.
Could they have done it without Dennis Rodman?
He did it three times without him.
Yeah, but would he have done it that fourth year playing the Rockets without a
Well,
Rodman?
I think if Jordan's playing... I mean, they did add Tony Kukoc that year.
Probably the best six man I've ever seen, honestly.
I got to go Ginobili on that one.
I forgot about Ginobili.
Ginobili's the best six man ever, in my opinion. Yeah. I mean, that's a good, I mean, no, he, I mean, I think Kukoc is
Jason
top
Terry.
Three.
He's up there too.
Jason Terry was a badass sixth man. Jamal Crawford, great sixth
Jamal
man.
Crawford.
Lou Williams, great sixth man. Kevin McHale was a sixth man for a long time, and he
was
a great
sixth
man. But I think in those 2 years, now look, I can't obviously say, oh, he would have for sure won it. I'm just saying. I mean, he retires, he's out for a year, he comes back midway through that season, and they, you know, he hasn't played in a while, and he still looked really competitive against the Magic in that first round.
For sure.
So. I imagine if the train never stops, they're, you know, business as usual. You got Kukoc, Pippen, and Jordan, which is what that team would have been.
Right.
So I do think that would have been enough, because I think the first three he won, he had a worse supporting cast than he did the last three.
Yeah,
not that it was a bad supporting cast, but the first three, it was him and Pippen, and then you got Cartwright at center. You have... I do think Horace Grant.
I was going to say, was Horace Grant
I think Horace
team?
Grant was on the...
Yeah.
Or did he get... Horace Grant was on the two on the back end. Horace Grant, Cartwright. Who's the white guy? He hit that really big shot against Phoenix.
Oh,
It's not Steve Kerr.
No,
it's the
no,
other
no,
one.
No, Paxson?
No, I'm just kidding.
No... Paxson. Yes.
Oh, Bill Paxson. Yeah.
John Paxson.
John Paxson. Bill
John
Paxson.
Paxson
actor, yeah.
He he was the white guy, sixth man that they had.
I forgot about Paxson, yeah.
And, I mean, honestly, I'm really having a hard time naming anybody else that was on that bench. I think they had that one white guy, fucking backup center they had with the goatee.
Always think about Luke Longley when you're talking about those. Yeah, he was... Dude, he actually was a pretty good contributor.
I mean, all he had to do was grab boards and play defense. They didn't give a shit about him scoring points. I mean, I think that second rendition... Now, you could argue that maybe Rodman never goes to the Bulls if Jordan never left.
Do they beat the Jazz without Rodman? Rodman could get into Karl Malone's head. Like, he really... Really, I felt like, was the pivotal player in that series. With the Jazz... That turned it around. I mean, obviously Jordan was a star.
To be quite honest, because the only two players that were on all six teams were on all six championships, like, played together and never lost.
As
Jordan and Pippen are on the team, I don't really think it matters the other guys. Obviously, they do matter, but as long as just proven every time to the finals, Pippen and Jordan were the only guys on all six of those championship teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. As long as they're that pair is there, because you're going to get 30 to 40 from Jordan guaranteed.
Yes.
And you're going to get 18 to 25 from Pippen, and he's going to play
plus how many assists,
the best defense. Yes. And then they're also arguably the best defensive pair of all time, especially backcourt.
Yeah.
They're arguably the best defensive backcourt ever.
Dude, Adam Rodman, though, just put the,
oh, well, that's what I'm saying. It was just
on the cake, right?
And also it shook things up. They needed it. That was all Jordan getting a little bit older.
For sure.
You know, so, you know, it needed to. But let's go ahead and call it good, guys. I'm fucking starving, and I'm exhausted after a long day of pulling hose all day. You know what I'm saying?
Pulling hose.
Luke, thank you for coming out tonight. And Trevor, congratulations on your championship. I hope you enjoy it, you smug asshole.
I will. I'll enjoy
it. I'm coming for it next year. It's one of the only championships I haven't won yet, but that's okay. I'm going for my wouldn't it be great if I won my second NBA championship within the first few years?
I want to sweep basketball. I want to sweep the basketball.
Well, you're going to try, I'm sure. But all right, everybody. Well, we got the NBA playoffs coming up soon. We got the WrestleMania coming up soon. Which, if you don't go out there and tell Cam some details about plans for that thing, she's going to kill you before you ever have a chance to leave here. So... All right, Luke, thank you for coming. Sorry. Trevor, love you. Love you too, Luke. I don't want you to think I don't. thank you guys for listening. Please share, subscribe, and like this podcast on whatever app you're listening to, and give us a shout out. All right, we'll talk to you later.
Next.